What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump right into it. You can find this recording as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on both of those sites. Also, be sure to follow us on our social media pages. We regularly post on Instagram. You can find us by searching at In the End Zone podcast on Instagram. Also, be sure to follow us on the at Settle Down Media TikTok page. We post clips on there pretty regularly. Also, be sure to follow us on our Patreon. For less than a cup of coffee in a month, $3, you get exclusive content. You get access to behind-the-scenes stuff, footage before it's even out on YouTube. So, yeah, check that out. Help support us. It helps us get better gear, better quality content. So it goes directly to improving the quality. And finally, our last piece of information, we're moving to Thursdays. We understand that with football coming up, football starts on a Thursday now. So instead of Friday morning, it's going to be Thursday morning. That way we're current on everything we're talking about. And if you have any fantasy football questions, we can answer that before the games start. So thanks for watching this and enjoy the rest of the episode. Peace.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yo, 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 what's poppin'?
To In the End Zone podcast.
We're going crazy.
For you guys that don't know, this is our third time. So we're going to do this and just go with it. Keaton, look, how's your week been? It's been pretty solid.
As the Himalayans say, third time's the charm. The week's been great. Got myself a snake, little Casper. Originally, it was supposed to be, his name was Cornelius. That was the original name because he's a corn snake. My girlfriend's least favorite coworker also has a snake named Cornelius. So we ended up getting a ghost corn snake. We named him Casper. This is the guy. This is when Sage was actually holding him.
Nice. Oh, it's just little guy.
Oh, he's a baby. Nice. Little baby.
Yeah.
He really is. He really is
chill,
just.
Though. He looks chill. Dude,
he's literally he's my twin, bro. We're literally twins. Tall like and skinny, before, bro. Tall and skinny.
Our two glorious kings.
Yep.
Slime / Casper / and. What was the other one? What was the other name?
Dog Cornelius. Or Duke or whatever. Cornelius.
Cornelius. And most importantly, KJ Osborne.
KJ Osborne.
We're gonna get him on. KJ, you're gonna come on, man.
Actually, you're I'm gonna come on. When after the end of the season,
you will be on.
After the end of the season, I'm going to DM him every single day.
Yep.
During the off season. So.
Yep.
But week's been great. Week's been great.
Slime
so.
And KJ Osborne, baby. Gotta love it. Our two.
I'm getting numbers. That jersey Anthony? Hopefully in a few weeks.
What about you? Not a whole lot's happened since Thursday. Thursday. Just been last studying, grinding. Yeah, just studying, grinding on that. Watching some Dexter with Zach. We just finished season 7. Now on season 8, we watched the first episode of that. Zach is like, oh boy, this is it. And I'm like, yep, this
not
is it.
Who's he gonna kill this week?
Get annoyed. I'm starting to get a little annoyed.
Yeah, because he just...
Anthony, continue. No, because you could just see the downfall coming. It's like the 49ers in overtime. You know, you could just feel it.
Javon Kinlaw tears his ACL, and you're like, well, I know where this is going.
Yep.
But other than that, though, pretty good. Nothing too special. I might test exactly a week from today.
Good luck, brother.
Thank you, brother. So I'm pretty nervous about that. But other than that, though, doing all right. We're doing okay. Nice. Zachary, how are you, buddy?
Zachary.
I'm doing well, man. Crazy. I've had a good week. Although it hasn't been a full week, which is kind of weird. And filming on a Tuesday has been kind of weird just to feel it out and get it into. Yeah.
God damn it.
Routine, just because this is our first time, if you guys don't know. But, okay, here we go. Sorry, I thought I was paused for a second because my screen went. Yeah. But my week's been good. Work's been good. Had a good 2 workouts to start this week. Watched Dexter. Again, like I said, I'm starting to feel that vibe that he's either going to get caught or something's going to happen. Don't tell me in the comments, but.
For those who don't know. Spoiler alert, Dexter kills people in that show a lot of times.
Yes. A lot of times.
He's the greatest serial killer, and he's never been caught. It's kind of weird.
Good job.
Kind of weird.
Well, technically, Zach, in season 7, you know, there were a few.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yep.
I got to ask one thing.
We're not going to say anything more, but.
I got to ask one thing.
It's just starting to give me a little bit of anxiety.
Are those plain Lays?
Yeah, I had them when we were at our die tournament. I just took some Lays.
Okay.
Remember, Zach?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I was gonna grab some Cheetos.
I do remember.
I was gonna grab some Cheetos before we went to bed, but then I was like, man, I don't want to get the sheets all like Cheeto-y.
Wait,
you know?
Okay. I'm not gonna lie. That night, I grabbed a bag of Fritos. Never felt more greasy after a night out.
Dude, that's greasy, dude.
Dude, it was greasy. My hands were all greasy. I'm like, oh, it doesn't even smell good.
Chili cheese Fritos, rank.
If you know, you open know, those? It low-key smells like the bottom or like the paws of dogs. That's what fucking those corn chips fucking Fritos.
Yes.
Maybe that's why it was so hot and sweaty in there, Zach. It's from your greasiness, your greasy fingers.
No, it was definitely from my ass.
And mine. It was not good in there.
We had Mexican food beforehand. Not good. We were trapped.
Not good.
Not good at all. Yeah. Keaton, I like the vibe. Thanks, man. Our first try, we talked about this earlier, but we're wearing
we didn't even plan this, man.
Because no, we didn't, because we're gonna go over the NFC and AFC West. And Anthony, no, you have your jersey on, bro. Like I said, Joe Milton, when the game actually matters, it's invisible. Mm.
Yes,
you're paid.
Look, Fenway. He's Fenway.
Look. Where's your jersey at?
It's in my closet.
It should have been last week, realistically, but
it should have been last week.
Anyways, good week from all three of us. That's epic. Let's get into it.
Green 18, red 48. Settle down. Wide 80, sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
2-7, 2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just right.
This is a
I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude. All right, we're back. Anthony,
where'd you go?
Yeah, what happened there?
Nothing.
Oh, nothing. You
know? Oh, nothing.
Okay, I think Anthony spilled Coca-Cola on himself
just
or something.
Just glitched out. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just glitched
out
or
something. Yeah, it's like camera issues. Anyway.
Yeah. Something.
We got
a
crazy week.
Honestly, we
had a crazy week.
We low-key have a banger.
Yeah, Zach.
We low-key have a banger. I'm not gonna lie.
What's going on this week, man? Well, Zach, talk to us about what happened this week, huh?
You know, you guys are gonna make a couple apologies, and I'm gonna make both of you make the apology because Caleb Williams has looked like a star so far. And before we continue, I would like to hear it from both of you.
Hear what?
Yeah, you know what? There were two guys in the end zone that were kind of shitting on him. Then there was one guy that typically wears a 49ers jersey. I don't know if I'm the guy, but I said he's going to be great. So far, Caleb Williams has looked perfect. He's looked perfect, and I'm not glazing him.
I think Zach said that Caleb Williams was going to be a bust.
No,
I think so.
Well, I'll start. I'd like to take this chance to apologize. It's absolutely fucking nobody, dude. To nobody. Look,
that was fucking perfect,
dude. You throw me out there against plumbers and construction workers pouring concrete for a day job, and yeah, I might throw a touchdown pass or two. I'm sorry. Look. I'm just speaking the truth. Holton Antlers last year was a Seahawk third stringer. He looked very good during preseason. Led us on a couple fourth quarter drives, you know? Looked really good. Was cut by week one. Now, I'm not saying Caleb Williams is going to be cut. I'm just saying preseason does not mean shit. It doesn't mean jack diddly squat.
Give him his flowers now.
I'm not.
You know he's looked impressive.
I'll be honest. I've watched maybe 1 minute of Caleb Williams highlights because I couldn't care less.
Okay, well, let me show you one throw. One throw.
Was that the one where he threw from his side?
I will show this bad boy right here.
Is this the one? Yeah, this is the one Zach and I saw.
Okay.
I'll go next here. I'll just say this right now. Okay. I'll say this.
I'm right done. Now. I want to hear it. I want to hear your guys' apology.
I'm not going to apologize
for shit right now. The only reason why I'm not going to apologize for shit is because it's preseason. Guys look okay in preseason. We've seen it many times. Keaton gave a great example of that. You know, we see them.
Mantlers, baby. I thought he was going to be a dog. Fucking,
and then they do shit week one to week six or for the rest of the entire NFL season. And then they're nobodies again.
Here's mine.
Come on, Ant. Come on. I heard it from you on Sunday.
You said he doesn't look bad. He's in preseason, bud. He's in preseason.
I've heard it. Okay, fine. Yeah, maybe I'm glazing a little bit, but
he doesn't look bad.
You gotta admit, he looks good. He looks good. He looks comfortable, too.
He looks fine.
I don't have to admit to shit.
But he's in preseason. That's the thing. That's my only thing. He's going up against fourth stringers who keep on fumbling the ball every fucking 10 minutes or less. Yeah,
it's been like really, really bad football.
It's been bad.
Like, it's been hard to watch. Like, even Brock was hard to watch.
I'm not gonna lie. He looked like a bum out there when he did his few drives. I'm not gonna lie, Zach.
You gotta watch some of these reviews. Our wide receivers were just falling down. Trent Taylor, if you're watching this, you're a bum. I'm sorry. Please get cut. Please get cut.
I'm enacting my right to First Amendment, and I'm not admitting to shit. Okay.
Anyways, Keaton, come on. Let's be real here. You gotta admit he's looked good. He has not looked like a bust so far.
Never used Be Real, so. But I have busted before.
Well, thank you, Anthony. Okay. Yeah, I've busted my ankle as well.
So is Anthony.
Yes. Indeed.
Oh, I too many times actually. Like 13.
Anyways, actually, I busted my ankle too.
Because honestly, I think Caleb Williams has looked great. He's done everything they've asked him. He's been a good leader. Seriously, he has been as expected.
Yeah, okay.
You could say I'm glazing, but come on, man. He's looking
great. Your face is getting red. Take a breath. Come out for air a little bit.
I will say, Zach, I think you are still glazing a little bit because it is only preseason. This was literally preseason.
There might be a pube in your mouth right now.
Nope. You guys know it. You watch some of those throws and you say, this is special. I'm sorry. No matter if you think it's glazing or not, it's not normal. It's
same.
Not.
Geno Smith makes those every week. Not too crazy.
Geno Smith does not do that every week. That's insane.
What do we, Bailey Zappi made those every week, you know?
Joe Milton does it every practice. I fucking hate that. Anyways, let's move on just because you guys aren't going to admit it and squeak that out.
I said he did fine, but it's
okay. Fine. Speaking about someone who has not done fine, Colt McCoy has retired from the NFL. If you guys remember Colt McCoy out of
14 seasons,
that man was glazed up almost as much as Caleb Williams. And all he's done has been his career. Okay. I'm not talking about Brock. Anyways.
Sock Purdy.
Regardless, he's been a backup for most of his career, if not all of it. And he's now set to join the media side of football following a 14-year professional career that took him from the nation's capital to San Francisco Bay into the Big Apple and the Arizona desert. On Monday, news came out that McCoy is set to join the broadcast team at NBC. So shout out to Colt McCoy, man. You were a Texas legend, and you really made me upset because I'm in Oklahoma. You beat us a couple of times. So shout out to Colt. But, yeah, I mean – not an ideal situation and career for him. I just thought that was some crazy news. And speaking about fucking crazy, man, Goster Sherlis was arrested on Saturday after he was accused of urinating on a passenger on a Delta flight. If you have any Delta flights planned in the future, cancel now because you might get pissed on.
When in Rome.
It's insane, in Rome. Dude. Ex-offensive lineman from the Lions was arrested on Saturday after he was accused of urinating on a fucking passenger.
The 2008
pick was on a Delta flight headed to Dublin when the airline said he was acted in an unruly manner. The flight was routed back to Logan Airport in Boston, and he was taken into custody after the plane had landed. Dude.
I want to play devil's advocate real quick. What if, hypothetically, this passenger just got stung by a jellyfish? I would have done the same shit. I would have pissed on her. How do you think that shit gears jellyfish things, man? Like, let's take our objections out of this and our biases of football players this offseason. And let's think hypothetically. What if he was trying to be helpful, you know? Maybe she was taking a jellyfish from the bay. It fell out of the overhead compartment, stung her, and he had to pee on her. I mean, dude, it's life or death at that situation. If anything, bro's a hero, man.
Gosner's
bro, he's a hero.
What a name, too, bro. He just sounds like he'd piss on someone.
I wanna point something out. What's up with players, Detroit Lions players? You know, wait. First there was Isaiah Bugs, and now we have this guy. What's up with this right now? You know, insane stuff.
Detroit, baby. Isaiah Bugs, Detroit.
Yeah, he went from
8 miles in the air.
Yeah, he was Detroit, and then he went to the Chiefs,
Kansas
and
City.
And then bam, right when he went to the
that
Chiefs,
shit's insane.
Insane,
absolutely nuts. Speaking about absolutely nuts, this USA flag football quarterback is speaking absolute nonsense.
Tell us about it. Let's hear it.
Unironically devil's advocate on this.
Oh my God, there's no
but let's talk about this. Let's discuss this. Let's discuss it.
I'm just looking at this. What?
Okay, well, flag football is going to be in the 2028 Olympics, if you guys didn't know that, and they're allowing NFL teams and players to join in, right? The USA flag football quarterback, his name is Daryl Doucette, has something to say about that. He said, "We just don't think they're going to be able to walk on the field and make the Olympic team because of the name, right? They still have to go out there and compete. I think it's disrespectful that they are just automatically assumed to be on, that they just automatically assume that they're able to just join the Olympic team because of the person that they are. They didn't help grow this game to get to the Olympics. Give the guys who helped this game get to where it's at their respect." So, look, man, I'm not going to lie to you, Doucette. I like that you have the opportunity to speak up for the USA football flag football team, but let's be quite frank with you. If you were the best quarterback or if you had the talent to be so, you would be in the NFL. Tyreek Hill will smoke all of their cornerbacks.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Oh, boy.
I didn't initially see the, hey, you have to go out and earn it. Obviously, they could go out there and with their eyes closed earn it. But what I do agree, I do agree is like, hey, we grew the sport. This is our thing. And I get it. It's football, but it's not the same thing. So you should let us go out there and perform because you already get all the glory. Like, let us put on for something that we helped create. You know what I mean? It's like, we basically, it's kind of like, don't, you know, it's like an underground rapper, right? And then a mainstream artist picks up the same style of sound and just obliterates the underground rapper. I think it would be cool to watch people who actually play flag football for a living compete and play flag football in the Olympics as opposed to just bring in NFL players.
I see your point, just, Keaton.
I've watched Pro Bowl flag football. It doesn't do shit for me, man. But I'll tell you what. I'll watch some no-name dogs play some fucking Olympic flag football. I think it would be cool. Creates more competition. If you threw CJ Stroud out there with Ja'Marr Chase and KJ Osborne, they would win 190 million to zero against every team that they played. But you throw six construction workers, a plumber, and an enterprise rent-a-car business owner, and yeah, it's probably going to be competitive when they play someone like Japan. And that's what I'd rather watch. Same reason I don't like college football is watching those games where it goes like 96 to zero. I like the competitiveness. And I think that provides a better competitiveness than just bringing in these all, you know, Hall of Fame Pro Bowl players. That's my two cents.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie, Keaton. I do see your point with that, though. I see it on both sides. But I don't know. It's flag football. It is what it is. It's a simple game of flag football.
I'm just going to say a couple of things. One, this reminds me of the whole world champion of what take. You know, if you're going to say that you're able to play in the Olympics, and he goes on to say that it's not that we need these guys, because we're already great with who we have. If you're going to say that and then continue to say, I think it's disrespectful that they just automatically assume that they're able to join the Olympic team because of the person that they are. Give the guys who helped this game get to where it's at their respect. Honestly, I give them that. I think that they should compete. But if you realistically think that these guys are not going to get beaten out by NFL players, you are smoking crack.
Oh, they're going to get beaten out.
Okay, so you give it a fair shot. And
that's not what I'm saying.
Fucking argument. It's like, world champion of what? We know who's the best of the best. We don't have to specifically say it.
Okay, but the world champion of what?
Specifically say it.
No, the world champion of what is different. That's different. That's different. Okay, okay, okay.
It gives me the same almost like disrespectful view, as in like, if these NFL stars went and played against these guys, it'd be 79-0. If you legit had tryouts and it was NFL and USA flag football players, who was going to make the team? Playing flag
football. There might be one flag football guy that makes the team.
Thank you.
That's fair. And I'm not arguing. I already agree that, yes,
look.
If Joe Burrow walks in there, he's going to just cook all these guys with one hand tied behind his back and the other halfway into his crotch. He could basically show up and immediately get a roster spot. But I think that it would be – okay, I'm reading this. Duchette, who is 35, has been successful for Team USA, helping the team to a 2021 World Championship in Jerusalem, a gold medal at the 2022 World Games in Birmingham, Alabama, and an America's Continental Cup Championship in 2023 where he won MVP. I think that's cool that he has he himself, amongst other players, has helped grow a sport to the point where it's picked up to the Olympic Games. I don't believe that NFL players who are already paid exorbitant amounts of money, who already have sponsorships out the wazoo, should just come in and clean up the coattails that these guys have laid the groundwork for.
Okay.
In 2032, if you want to talk about NFL players doing it, I'm all for it. But for the first inaugural flag football time, I believe it should be the guys who helped start it. That's my personal opinion.
I might have spoke too soon, because if you continue to read, it says he was also a member of an amateur squad that in 2018 defeated a team of former NFL players on national television. Doucette led the team to a 20-point win over the NFL squad, which included running back Justin Forsett and former Seattle Seahawks quarterback
Seneca Wallace,
and was coached by Michael Johnson, a four-time Olympic gold medalist in track. So on national television, NFL stars, they weren't stars, NFL players lost to these guys. So it's a big difference between random NFL players. I'm not going to say they're random. I mean, I know Justin Forsett. I don't know Seneca Wallace, but those guys made the NFL and they lost. They lost. So
yeah,
on national television too, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe there's an argument, but the best of best, regardless if it's on national television or not.
Best of best. I'd rather have competitiveness than just like showboating, because if Team USA actually played, it would be like, I mean, they could put out ball boys and we'd probably still win. So I think it would just be fun to watch guys who actually started it. That's my two cents. That's my devil's advocate on it.
So all right, well,
take a shot every time I say that word.
Yeah, I mean, we would be drunk already. I think you've said it at least four times, so we have a
five Monaco's baby.
Five Monaco's baby. Oh, we saw what happened with that in that video earlier. Yeah,
I'll do it again. Eugene Oregon does not know what's about to happen.
Speaking about doing again, for the second time in his career, Gardner Minshew has been named the starter. He's going to be the starter for the Las Vegas Raiders. And to be honest with you, I don't know how I would feel as a Raiders fan. I'll be quite frank. I think Aiden played well. I think Aiden played well at the end of his season last year, but I will say, Gardner hasn't really had a chance to be a starter. And when he has, it's been on a team that we've seen that it hasn't been the greatest. So he's been more of a guy that's come in and played really well when you need him. To be a starter is completely different, but I think it makes the most sense with, if you're going to try to bring in a quarterback that will win do something now, I think it makes the most sense to go with Gardner, especially with a guy like Devontae. Like we saw like last year what happened with Aiden. Aiden did not throw the ball a lot to Devontae. Devontae Adams was open quite a bit. And with a guy like Gardner, I think you get the ball to him, but it also is dependent on what you're looking for. If you're looking more so to feed some of these younger guys and to go with a quarterback that could be a franchise guy, I don't think Gardner's the type. But I think the Raiders think that they're at least a 9-8 team and could be competitive, so they went with Gardner. And if you're Devontae Adams, are you happy with Gardner?
Well, I think
– I just don't know if you're happy with either situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to let Anthony take this one over, cuz I've just yapped for 25 minutes. So,
yeah. You see, I would not know how to feel if I was a Raider fan with this. This is a very weird situation. You had Aiden O'Connell, who he didn't play horrible at all towards the end of the season. But it also comes down to that point where it's like he was not throwing to Devontae Adams like as much as he should, right? Devontae Adams, without a doubt, arguably top five, top seven receiver right now in the NFL. But if you're not giving him these targets at all and you're just giving them to Jacoby Myers instead, which Jacoby did fine, it doesn't seem like that fits though. So now you have Gardner Minshew coming in and it's like, okay, is he going to actually like, is he going to even out the targets at all? Is he going to go to Devontae a lot more? Is he going to stick with Jacoby? Like, what's going to happen with this? There's a lot of questions up in the air with this decision-making, and I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how that will play out, but I'd be shaky if I was a Raider fan for sure.
Yep. Yep.
Fair.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, but I just don't know, you know, especially if you're Devontae Adams, what choice do you have? I mean, you're there, and it's like no matter who you get, it's an upgrade to Jimmy G, but it's not, you know, it's a downgrade from Derek Carr, who, I'll be honest, at the end of his tenure with Las Vegas / Oakland, was really not that good, man. Bad decision making, too quick throwing out the ball, and then in shitty situations, too slow getting the ball out. And
they were also going through some head coaching though situations going on.
A lot of tumultuous changes.
So that could also have a factor in with that whole bad decision making.
Different offensive coordinators.
So, hey, yeah. If Minshew mania clicks, though, just being honest.
Look, man, we've seen it. I mean, even with the first Colts round last pick. Year, he played well. With he the Colts last year, he played well. Yeah, I mean, that team was not expected to do that well, and he played pretty good. So, again, I think if you're Devontae, it's tough because he's complained about a lot of things there with not just specific coaches, players, stuff like that, but specifically the position, the quarterback position. And it's just, it's tough because when you get into a position like this, you know, Aiden didn't throw the ball to you a lot. You know that Gardner can, and he will throw the ball to you a lot. So you got to be happy for what you have, but it's also like, do you stay afterwards? And I just don't like this Raiders team. I think they could be pretty good and we'll talk about it later. I think they could be decent. Ant and I agree, but I just think you look at a team like this and it's like, do they have a top 32 quarterback on their roster? Is Gardner a top 32 quarterback?
I think he's
30th, I think 31st, 30 seconds if he is.
Yeah. Hey, he's a starter.
But you look at it and we've seen, I mean, specifically Devontae's been hit up by Aaron Rodgers. He's been talked to by other teams. There's been rumors. And again, I'm not trying to say like he's not happy there. I'm just saying the one specific thing that he's mentioned throughout his whole time there has been getting the ball to him and the quarterback situation. I mean, we saw it with Derek Carr. We saw it with, I mean, even maybe a little bit head coach too with Pierce. But you look at that and it's like, I think Gardner gives him a better shot, but does he give the team a better shot in the future? I think they're kind of trying to, you know, get into win now mode and it makes sense. I don't know. With what you have,
Do they tank for Shador? Possibly.
Possibly.
I don't know if Shador is number one over pick.
Shador is the number one. Yeah, I don't think he is.
I don't think he is.
They can't tank. No. They can't tank.
No, but they can't tank.
Devontae wants to be on a competitive team, and I think Gardner gives them the best shot to get Devontae the ball and be competitive now.
They don't have the best amount of options, but they got to work with what they got.
Is Aiden going to be a franchise guy or possibly your starter in the future? No. It doesn't look like it now.
There's no way.
He can't be. You can't let him develop. It's not like he can develop now at all. Especially if Gardner's going to be the starter.
And going back to what you were saying, Zach, about is Devontae happy with the Raiders? I mean, I don't know because he went there originally because of Derek Carr.
Right.
Like, that is legit the entire reason why he went to the Raiders organization was because of Derek Carr.
Right.
And then Derek Carr left. And now it just seems like it's just been on a decline for him. But
it's tough, man. It's tough.
It is Devontae.
And I think it's tough for Raiders fans too, because Niners fans were here for a bit until Brock. Like, I'll be completely honest, I think Brock is getting glazed up a little bit by Niners fans more than he should be. I think Brock is great. Like, me personally, I think he's top 10. But for some of the fans to be like, he's top 5, that's blasphemous. And I think the reason is because we went through the same thing. The Raiders roster on paper is not bad. It's really not bad. Like, it's competitive. But you look at that quarterback position, it's like, if you have a quarterback that isn't serviceable, and maybe Gardner can be, and that's what I'm getting at. I think Gardner can be serviceable. But if you don't have a quarterback that's decent or even, like, top 20, you are not going to win big games.
Yeah.
And I had this conversation with Tyler. It's like, you can have a great roster, and in all reality, a quarterback doesn't win you a game most of the time when it's good roster versus good roster. But if you need a quarterback to get it done and it's like close, that is the one position that needs to be better than the other teams. And I just don't know if that's going to be the case for the Raiders. I think it's just tough. I think they're trying to win now with Gardner, and it makes the most sense, but what can they do?
In honor of Raider fans, let's hope that Gardner Minshew is not shit.
Yeah. Speaking about shit, Daniel Jones looked like fucking dog water.
Dude, I'm sorry, Drew Lock.
Dude, he looks Daniel so Jones bad.
Is a bum. He is a bum. Literal
trash. Two interceptions. First fucking throwback was a pick six. Yes.
New Justin Herbert.
I'm just saying.
Daniel Jones.
I'm just going to say this.
Drew Lock. Week two
starter, Drew Lock. You can put that on the books. If I am wrong about that. Anyway, go ahead.
Nothing after that.
Because I won't be.
In all reality, I mean, I can't believe it. Seriously, I am fucking in shock how bad he played.
It's first really bad.
Back, first throw back from tearing his fucking knee up. He throws a pick six right to the dude. And the worst fucking part about it is all he had to do was throw a lawn dart into the ground and it would have been fine. He tried throwing it away. Daniel Jones doesn't have a weak arm, but he tried throwing it away from like the middle of the hash. There's a defender on the running back. He tosses it, and I'll play it in the clip or like in the video. He tosses it and the guy catches it right in his hands. Literally, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. First play back and you throw a fucking pick six. It's unbelievable. It's just Daniel Jones-esque. I mean, I have a question for you guys. Is Daniel Jones's contract the worst contract we've ever seen? It's got to be up there.
Yeah, I said it. We weren't really filming podcasts at this point, but in my head, I in my heart of hearts believe that it was one of the weirdest, most one and done type contracts I've ever seen, because it was like you'd watch him and you're like, okay, there's like moments where he can be good. But like any other New York quarterback other than Eli Manning, it is oftentimes filled with hollow play and disappointing results. And I think Daniel Jones has shown those moments of like, oh, I can be the guy, and then follows it up the next week with like, oh, I'm actually not the guy. I probably couldn't even make a flag football team.
Yep.
All I'm saying, it's
unbelievable.
Drew Lock, I think, gives him a better chance. I think he's a hell of a quarterback for a bench quarterback.
Fucking pick six. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Devin Witherspoon, father.
Yep.
Of Daniel Jones.
Hey, look, though, man. I mean, in the beginning of this offseason, we said a couple of things, and maybe I'm eating my words a little bit here just because the quarterbacks so far in the preseason from this rookie class have looked great. They've looked great. And I said, I think there's maybe two starters. Most of them have looked great. And there's one
for JJ
in Washington. JJ looked great too before he fucking tore his shit. But there's one in Washington that has actually been named the starter.
Which is so, no shock.
It's not shocking at all. It's their backup was Marcus Mariota. So we knew going into this with the number two pick that he was going to start. But Washington used their number two overall pick in this year's NFL draft on LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn didn't want to name the rookie the star before he earned it and said everyone would know when he was ready. That time is now. Clearly, we knew going into it that Jaden was going to be their starter, but he's played great in the preseason.
He looks really good.
And we knew with the second pick that it was one of those picks that was almost solidified going into that draft. I mean, it was 1A and 1B with Jane Daniels, and which shouldn't have been that close. I knew a lot of analysts that had it that close, but with Caleb Williams and Jane Daniels, I shouldn't say 1A, 1B, but 1 and 2, and it was pretty close. But Jane Daniels has looked great, man. He's looked great, and I think maybe I'm eating my words a little bit because I didn't think he would look good. And again, it's preseason. We might be overreacting, but he's been named the starter. We expected that from the beginning, but we just got confirmation, and I thought that was something that I would want to give a shout-out to Daniels with.
Yeah. One of the things before we hop into the rest of our big thing, I got to be honest, there's a lot of people talking about why has Sam Howell gone to the Seahawks? Why did they get rid of Washington, or why didn't they just bench him? And I watched this video that it helped really explain why they brought in Marcus Mariota. And it's basically because we've seen this very often where and it kind of happened last year where Geno Smith started to struggle and people knew like, oh, Drew Lock could probably play as a starter. And so there's immediate calls for Drew Lock to play. And what I think Washington wanted was Jane Daniels to have none of that noise. I think he wanted the fans. I think Washington wanted the fans to just fully be on the Jane Daniels train, because if Sam Howell, who, you know, can probably be a pretty productive starter, albeit all the interceptions he has, if Jaden Daniels were to struggle for like the first 2 weeks, there would immediately be calls for his job, and he loses all that confidence he just built up in the preseason. I'm really pumped that they brought in Marcus Mariota. I think he's a substantially great backup quarterback. I think he's a good motivator and a really like intelligent guy to like pick his brain. So right. I think Washington nailed it.
A good situation for Jaden too, just because, like you said, a lot of these quarterbacks go into these positions, and if they don't play well, it's automatically the fans saying he should be benched. And I mean, realistically, it's the head office, the head coach, all of them thinking that too, right? If you draft a quarterback and they don't play well, it's one of those things that's hard because, like we said with Aiden, he either needs to develop or he's just not a starter, right? You look at a situation like this, and typically you get a backup that's a journeyman, specifically for the situation. I mean, we've seen it with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. We saw it with, not to say that Alex Smith was necessarily a journeyman, but we've seen it with what's another one? Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Like, they typically have a mentor, right? And we've seen that that's worked really well. And I think on the flip side, you get a guy like Jaden who doesn't have the raw talent, I feel like, that some of these like glazed up quarterbacks like Caleb Williams has, right? But he's up there. Like, he's gifted completely. You look at him and you almost say, this guy, if put in the right position, will be great. He needs a mentor, will be great. And if there isn't a journeyman or a guy that has played in the league, has done well, like Alex Smith or Aaron Rodgers, a veteran that's done well, you should definitely pick a guy, like you said, that has a good IQ with football, quarterback, and has been the number one pick or one of the number one picks in the draft.
Yeah.
Who knows that feeling and can give him mentorship when he's down, right? Because we've seen it with Marcus. We've seen it with Marcus. I mean, he didn't start. He hasn't done great in his career. But at Oregon, he was a star, and he was put on the same level. They're about the same level skill-wise, right? So when you go into it, I think you need almost like a mentor. And sometimes it's not just mentor physically or like how you play the quarterback position. It's almost like how you get through the adversity. Yeah. And I think Marcus is a perfect pair.
And Marcus isn't walking in there like, hey, I'm going to compete for the starting job. Like, hey, this is your thing. Sam Howell in that same situation. And we'll jump into this when we talk about the NFC West. But he wants a starting job. He does not want to be a backup. And I think that causes a lot of adversity and a little bit of, controversy. I don't know. It just doesn't mix well. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into our second round of the NFL division breakdowns. And today we have the AFC West and NFC West, which, funny enough, we've talked a lot about some of these squads. I don't know if that was just ironic, but we're going to get into it. And I mean, I'll go through some of these teams, or I guess all the teams from the divisions that I just mentioned, and we'll kind of just give a summary of what's happened in the offseason. So the Chiefs last year clearly won the division. I mean, they were one of the best teams, unfortunately, and won the Super Bowl. But in the regular season, they weren't. I should say they were at the end of the year the best, but in the regular season, they weren't the best, but they won their division in a weak division. And this year, I don't think will be any different. But they've had some notable departures in Isaiah Bugs, who we really dislike here. Legarius Sneed, who was one of the reasons why they won that Super Bowl. MVS, wide receiver, again, I'm not a huge fan of.
I like Marquez.
I like Marquez too, but I just don't think he's that guy. I don't think it's a huge departure, but
I don't think it's a major break.
Are Mecole Hardman, Hassan Hall, Jack Anderson, a lot of role player guys, right? And then their draft picks, I think they kind of killed it. Xavier Worthy looks like he's a dog. Kingsley, I'm not even going to try to say that. Offensive tackle, Suamataya. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. And then Jaden Hicks, who I really, really like too. I think he's going to be dog in the future. The Broncos, again, we saw last year, kind of disappointing. I mean, I think they had some players that we thought were going to be better and players that weren't going to be as good. And they've had an interesting offseason too. They got rid of Russell Wilson, Lloyd Cushenberry, and Jonathan Harris. They've had some good additions at linebacker with Cody Barton, Andre Smith, and then they also added John Franklin Myers. And then they clearly picked Bo Nix, who they are very, very high on. Troy Franklin, which basically tags the team from Oregon, which is really cool, quarterback and wide receiver duo. And I think Troy can be good as well. And then Chris Drain as well. The Raiders, who I think could be a pretty improved team this year, just depends, again, like we said, with quarterback. Sorry, Tyler, if you listen to this, we mentioned a lot. But like we said, they got rid of Jimmy G, Hunter Renfrow, which is such a sad story, man. I don't know what the hell happened to him. His fall off needs to be studied as well, because his first and second year were great. He was considered the best slot receiver in the league. Yeah.
It's because Devontae showed up.
It's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. And then Josh Jacobs was also one of their departures. Notable additions, we talked about him. Gardner Minshew, again, we talked about that whole situation. We'll get into it a little bit more, but Christian Wilkins is another one. He's a dog. I really like that one. And then Cody Whitehair. And then draft picks, they obviously picked Brock Bowers, Delmar Glaze, and Jackson Powers Johnson, which I thought was the steal of the draft, but unfortunately
he's really good
right now. He's really good. The Chargers, again, don't really know what's happening with this team. Realistically, I think the Chargers could be one of the worst teams in the NFL as well. And the reason, we'll get to it, is the departures.
Their quarterback sucks.
Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, and Mike Williams. Who is going to be that offense? Who will be the weapons? And maybe we have the answer here. They added DJ Chark, J.K. Dobbins, and Alex Leatherwood, who fucking blows on cock. But we'll continue through that. Joe Alt is one of the best draft picks, I think, of the whole draft this year. Great pick there. Ladd McConkey, who's basically their wide receiver one, if not their wide receiver two. And then Junior Colson. And so that kind of gets us into our predictions. And I think we had a little bit of a discrepancy here, because we had different opinions on 2 and 3. I think the Chiefs and the Broncos will be the best and the worst in their division. But Keaton thinks, and you can go with
it. Yeah, I think the Chargers are probably the second best team in that division. Now, with that being said, I think this division is absolutely fucking dog shit. I think the Chiefs are the only team that come out and make a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at 2 500 teams, if even about 500. And then you're looking at the Broncos, who are going to probably finish 3 or 4 wins at the most.
They could be the worst team in the league.
Yeah. One of the things I did want to say, and we kind of glossed over it, Keenan Allen took Feed Me to a whole nother level in Chicago.
Yes.
That boy is big.
It's like 230 now.
230, 20 pounds away. He looks slow. That hamstring's going
nowhere, bro.
Yeah, yeah. So, he's going to play
tight end at this point. Well,
he's a Popeye's biscuit away from being an O-lineman.
I mean, let's get into some of these players, or like just teams in general. Do you guys want to talk about any teams that stick out to you guys, or players or anything?
In the AFC West?
I think there's a couple guys that I'm pretty excited about, but I wanted to let you guys talk about it first.
There's one guy I really do want to. I'm pumped for. Now, this might be controversial, Matt Ariza. And I say that because we were robbed of Matt Ariza really performing in the regular season. And I'm going to be honest, man, shout out to him, because he really didn't do it. Yep. He was accused of assault on a female. It came out that she was just trying to basically get some money out of him. The case got dropped, and he's back, man. He was dropped from the Bills, who I thought, you know, could have brought him back. Dude, he is if he's what he's advertised to be, he's going to be such a fun punter, which is crazy to say. He's going to be such an incredibly insane punter to watch this year. And I'm excited.
If you guys don't know who this is, I mean, this guy was actually supposed to be drafted in like the first four rounds, I think. He was one of the highest rated punters coming out of college I've ever seen. And he went to San Diego State. And with that being said, he had the longest punt average or maybe longest error time for punts, I believe, in college history. Something. He has a bunch of records. And then going into the draft, like Keaton said, he got accused of SA. I'm not going to say what that is.
Yeah, 51 yards per punt.
Yes. He has a bunch of records. And realistically, he was coming out of college the best punter I think I've ever seen. He got accused.
One of them, yeah.
Bills dropped him. And this was, what, 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
I don't think he played. I don't think he ever played. Yeah, because
I think some shit went down. Like, it took a while for that to go through, right?
Yeah, literally, he was named the Bills starting punter following the release of veteran Matt Hack. He did not dress for the Bills' final preseason game 1 day after a lawsuit of accusing him of what happened.
2 years, man.
He's 24 years old, which is crazy. He's a little bit younger than me, or older than me. It's crazy, man. I mean, I watched his highlights at San Diego State. He is fucking insane. Even in the preseason, he was smoking those balls, dude.
Nuking him. Nuke. He's got a leg on him.
He'll hit the top of a stadium. I guarantee it. Oh, yeah. I would put money that he booms AT&T Stadium this year.
Yep. Him and Will Levis, man. They got legs.
I mean, if they play, I don't know if they do, but he'll boom something. Hey. Will Levis got three legs, dude.
Yeah, one's got a third leg, one's got a right leg.
Yeah.
Anyways, I look at these teams. I'm really excited for Xavier Worthy, man. I mean, last preseason game, he played with Patrick Mahomes, and he had a bomb of a throw and touchdown, realistically, which was really cool to see from a rookie.
John Ross?
Dude, I don't know. I feel like I'm not going to say I think he's going to be the Tyreek Hill of that team again, but I think he gives an aspect of that offense that they've been looking for kind of since Tyreek Hill that they really needed. And so far, he has lived up to the hype. I really like it. Again, it's preseason. I'm not going to glaze everyone, but that's one of them. And, dude, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a huge Bo Nix fan. I'm not a huge Bo Nix fan, but he's looked fantastic. He's looked really good in the preseason, too. So I'm kind of hoping he does well. And then the other one that I think that I'm really excited about is Ladd McConkey. I think he could be a dog. And realistically, he's going to have to be a dog if they want to do anything on offense. I mean, that team on offense is begging for talent. So I'm hoping Ladd could be a good lad and actually do well. But Ant, do you have any players or teams that you want to talk about with the AFC West?
Well, it's funny. You took both of mine. I was going to say Bo Nix and Xavier Worthy. But really? I guess, yeah, no, I was like, fuck, you took both of them. But I guess one that I saw that kind of piqued my interest a little bit is Brock Bowers. I'm really interested to see how he's going to do with that Raiders offense and everything, considering that, you know, probably could use a better tight end, in my opinion, with that offense. Yep. So I'm excited to see how that's going to play out. Once again, all going to depend on how Gardner Minshew does. It all circles back, all back to this square one, right?
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes.
Gardner Minshew, baby. And Gardner Minshew, man. Like we said, I don't know. We don't want to mention the Raiders too much because Tyler might be in our comments, but let's be real here. I mean, Devontae, again, hasn't been the happiest. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud, but he hasn't been the happiest with the Raiders. And I think in a situation like this, he's got to be as happy as possible with the situation that they have. And I think I just don't know if it's ideal. I think it sucks for Raiders fans because realistically, you have pieces everywhere. You have pieces everywhere, but I just don't know if it's the year. I think
it could maybe be good though. It could be
next
good.
Year, 2 years, they could make a wild card and actually make a run in the playoffs. They have the talent, but this year is gonna be tough.
Yeah.
Speaking about a tough division, though, we're gonna get into the NFC West. Unless you guys have anything to say about the AFC West,
I'm clean, baby.
Cool. Well, let's run it. I mean, we have the 49ers, Cardinals, Seahawks, and Rams. And realistically, I look at this division and I think realistically there's going to be two that make the playoffs, but I do think there could possibly be a third, and we'll get into it. But 49ers last year, again, lost in heartbreaking fashion for the 6,000th time in my fucking lifetime.
Breathe. Caleb Williams. Caleb.
Some of the departures that we had are Logan Thomas, Chase Young, Javon Kinlaw, Ray McLeod. There's more, but I'm not going to go down the list because then I'll be glazing. Some notable additions that I really, really like are Leonard Floyd. I mean, he's going to be a dog. And Josh Dobbs, he's looked great in preseason so far. Again, preseason, but he's looked really good. Some draft additions are Ricky Pearsall, Dominic Pooney, who's going to be the starter now because Feliciano actually just got surgery on, I don't remember what it was, something in his lower half, but he just got surgery, which means Dominic Pooney is going to be a starter until like midseason, unless he takes his job. And then Renardo Green and Malik Mustafa, they've looked crazy good in the preseason. Again, you guys are going to say I'm glazing, but they've looked really good. The Cardinals, who I think might be the most improved team maybe in the NFL. Again, the Cardinals last year, what did they go? Were they 6-11? Or no, they were 5-12, huh?
Stand by.
Yeah, let me know if that is. They were a sneaky whatever they were, and I think they just got better because they got Byron Murphy, Marquise Brown, and Zeke Turner. Those are three that left. I'm so sorry. But the notable additions are Zay Jones, Marcus Bailey, Sean Murphy Bunting, who's a great cornerback, and they really need defensive help, and DJ Dallas. But they also got more healthy. Obviously, I mean, we saw Kyler last year. He wasn't healthy until the end. And they did really, really well in the draft with Marvin Harrison, Darius Robinson, and Trey Benson, who has looked like a freak, by the way, in preseason. Yeah. And do you have their record?
Pulling it up.
I got it.
They were 4-13.
Okay. So they were worse than I thought. But I think that they could be definitely an improved team. Seattle, again, I think they could make the playoffs, but it just depends on their offense, realistically, because I think that defense is going to be great. You get rid of Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Jordan Brooks, and Drew Locke, but you also add Sam Howell, Nick Harris, George Fant, and then draft picks are Byron Murphy, Christian Haynes, and Tyrese Knight. But I think McDonald makes a huge difference on that defense, and realistically, the guys that you had were not performing very well at safety. And I think that you guys have safeties that are great there. So I'm not going to say I'm worried about Seattle, but I think they're a low-key sleeper team to make the playoffs. The Rams, who I think definitely make the playoffs again, just because they had last year, I think they just got better. But some of their notable departures are Ben Skowronek. Is that how you say his name? How do you say his last name? I remember this, but I don't know how to pronounce it. Ben Skowronek, whatever it is. He's a wide receiver for them. Played decent, wide receiver 3 or 4, not really a big departure. They added Jimmy G for depth, Boston Scott running back, and then Justin Dietisch, center as well, just to help with their offensive line. And then draft picks, Jared Verse, who I think could win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Braden Fisk, who's also been really good, and then Blake Corum at running back, which they don't really need a lot of help with. But realistically, I think two of these teams make the playoffs, the 49ers and the Rams, and I think you guys agree with that.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Cool. Okay, and realistically, I think if we were to go down the line, I think this is kind of consensus, but 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals. And
yeah,
if I was to do an NFL, or not an NFL, but just a record prediction for these teams, I think it would be kind of difficult because I think this division is going to be really, really competitive. We've seen the Cardinals when they played well at the end of the year and their offense is clicking through Kyler. They were competitive with everyone in this division. Seattle, again, I think McDonald's going to make a huge difference in that defense. And you guys have a plethora of good defensive players. The Rams, and I don't know, their offense is just a well-ran machine with McVay. They scare the fuck out of me. That would be the one team I don't want to play in the playoffs. And then the 49ers, obviously, I mean, without blazing, I think have the best talent or roster in the NFL. So it's going to be a fun division. Are there any teams or players that you guys want to go over?
You want to lead us off, kid?
Yeah, sure. So, Ricky, it's Pearsall, right?
Yeah.
Pearsall. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Injury bug.
I'm kind of curious to see how he will do with the departure of, Brandon Ayuk.
I think he's staying.
Okay. You don't need to say that.
I was kind of just throwing a, nice little jab in there to Zach, but
you don't need to say that.
Thanks for ruining the joke,
I was mean.
Yeah.
It was a little mean.
Anyways, no. All seriousness, though, I definitely think that I'm definitely curious to see how he will do, because it's always interesting to see how these 49er running – sorry, not running back. Sorry, excuse me. Wide receivers are going to perform and do mm-hmm. because it – for some reason, it always seems like they always do very well with the Niners organization. So I am truly interested to see how that's going to play out for him. And then the other one for me would be Marvin Harrison Jr. With the Cardinals, because I think yep. he's gonna go insane, honestly. Yep. I think him with the Kyler Murray duo, it's going to be nuts. And who knows? Maybe Cardinals will start actually doing well in the next few years now.
So dude, I'm telling you, that offense on paper looks really good. Michael Wilson's a freak. Dude's like 6'5", 230 as a wide receiver, and he played really well last year. Big sleeper.
Watch the Cardinals completely like –
Dude, I'm telling you.
And they do, and they get like in second place in that division or third place in that division.
It would not shock me if they were 500. I'll say that. Yeah, anything above 500 or like 9-8, I would be like, ooh, shit. Like, they're exceeding expectations past what I thought their expectations could be exceeded. But
yep,
I don't know. I think they could be decent.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Without causing too much turmoil. I'm gonna be a little bit biased. Probably my most excited player to watch in this division is Byron Murphy II. He's our rookie D tackle from Texas.
He's a freak.
I'm gonna be honest. It's been a very, very, very long time since Seattle has had a monster up on the front line. Michael Bennett was probably the last prominent one that I can truly remember. At least that was consistent. I really think from Byron Murphy's tape at practice and then watching the preseason, he is fucking ridiculous.
Away.
I think he's such a just a drive starter and just a motivator. I'm really excited for him. Taking myself out of the Seahawks in me, I think. Marvin Harrison is someone I'm really interested to see how he plays. You know, me as a big Romo Dunze fan, I kind of hope Marvin Harrison sucks. Then again, though, I think it's also been so long since the Cardinals have had anything of prominence. I mean, yes, Larry Fitzgerald, but you take Larry out, they haven't had much. And I think Marvin Harrison can be the key cornerstone to really benefit Kyler Murray. One of the reasons why I think the Cardinals are going to be really good probably is just Kyler Murray having a consistent wide receiver again. Marquise Brown was cool. He just didn't have it, and I think Marvin Harrison could provide it. Also, Ricky Pearsall, man. He's got a little bit of the injury bug, but he could be productive. So those are probably my few players.
Okay. I'm going to be a little biased towards the Niners, and then I'm not going to be. So in departures, we did not add Eric Armstead, which is a big one, but we signed Malik Collins from the Texans, and I'm really excited about him. I'm also really excited about Leonard Floyd just because we haven't had really a pass rusher to kind of go with Nick Bosa in a while, so I'm extremely excited about that. And our rookies I'm excited about too. Going down the list, I'm really excited about Sean Murphy Bunting for the Cardinals too, because – he's played really well at cornerback, and he's been underrated, I feel like, most of his career. And I feel like the Cardinals needed one of those type of guys at cornerback, at least a cornerback one that's solidified. So I'm excited about that. I did not want to pick Marvin Harrison because you guys did, but I did.
I had one more player I was going to pick, but I'll let you finish.
I really am excited to see him as well. And then Jared Verse, definitely from the Rams, although I can't stand him. I think not Jaden Verse, specifically the Rams, I mean. I think he's going to be a beast. I just see it. I don't know. I just feel like he fits that offense or that defense really well.
Yeah. The only other person I was going to say is DJ Dallas, because he was one of my favorite Seahawks players on that team.
Yep.
I think he's just a really fun running back. Always a good second down option. So that's about it. That's all I had.
Isn't he like a bowling ball? Like Loki,
he's like a Marshawn Lynch with less breakaway speed.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
actually, similar breakaway speed, less like shiftiness, I would say, because Marshawn had lateral quickness for his size.
Yeah, bro.
Insane lateral quickness.
Yeah, you know he's up for the Hall of Fame next year. Hopefully,
I think he deserves it.
He should be.
That run alone. Just that 2011 run against the.
They asked him about it, and he's like, "Well, I caused an earthquake." I'm like, "Dude, that is such a tough response."
It's true. It's true.
Like, he's the only guy to ever fucking be able to say that.
I will say I was at the other Seattle Seahawks game that caused an earthquake, so not a flex, but.
Okay. Anyways, flex. Anthony.
But that is true. I was.
No. Oh, good. I'm just shocked that you didn't mention Joshua Dobbs. You know, Zach. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Brock Purdy is probably not going to perform well this year because
he's not. Yeah. Brock's going to be the MVP of this
year. I agree with you, Keaton.
Well, how could he be the MVP if Caleb also can
will win MVP?
Well, what about Caleb Williams? What's Caleb going to do?
Yeah.
They can't both win. Are they going to like
rookie share of the year? Rookie of the year.
Oh.
That's not MVP.
I think that wraps up this week. I don't want to continue to talk about players that I'm going to glaze. Anthony, Keith, you guys have anything?
Just like, comment, and subscribe.
Please like, comment, subscribe.
Subscribe. Go 49ers. Hopefully we don't choke this year.
Okay.
We'll catch y'all next week. Peace.
Later.